And will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Families. Families can be complicated. Our families hopefully love and nurture us, but sometimes they also misunderstand us. For some people, thinking of family is mostly comforting, bringing up memories of fun family times together, of work and play, of small moments of caring in daily life. For others, talking about families is hard. For some of us, we are separated from our families by long distances. Sometimes we're separated from our families by walls, built by hurt and rejection. Yes, talking about families can be tough. And for many of us, we fall somewhere in between. In our experiences of the messy and complicated lives as parents and children, siblings, aunts and uncles and cousins, our families are made up of people who are blessed, but also flawed. Family is a complicated thing, and no one knew that like Jesus. Can you imagine the sibling rivalry in that family? His little brother James, how many times did he have to hear, "Can't you be more like Jesus?" And Jesus had two dads way before that was cool. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus is deep in his ministry. He's done a bunch of healing and exorcising of demons. He's riled up the religious authority by speaking truth to power and saying that compassion is more important than conformity. So now a large crowd is following him wherever he goes, and he returns to his home, where he's greeted by those religious authorities who are so riled up that they've spread a rumor he is possessed by Satan, and also by his family, who come to him to restrain him. Actually, the text, the word that's used is to seize him, the same word used before Jesus is taken by the authorities to the crucifixion. Now, we don't know exactly why his family is there, whether they're worried that he's in danger because he's not taking care of himself, or if they're just a bit embarrassed that their family member is becoming a laughingstock of the area. But what is clear, without equivocation, is Jesus' response when he's told that his family is looking to speak with him. Jesus says, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those seated around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Whoever does the will of God is family to me." Now, this is just what Jesus does. Jesus likes to turn things on their head, just like flipping the moneylenders' tables in the temple, or coming out with that line about the last shall be first, or meek inheriting the earth. Jesus likes to turn things on their head. And so here, he's taken the notion of family and flipped it upside down and said that it is not lineage or blood that makes a family. It's love. Love is what makes a family. Jesus builds his own chosen family of the disciples. This is a familiar term in the LGBTQ community that refers to families that are brought together not by blood or tradition, but by choice. The people with whom you spend your life, not because you are related or obligated, but because you are committed. For some of us, blood family and chosen family are the same. For others of us, it's not the same thing. But here's the exciting thing regardless. chosen families are very biblical. The Hebrew Bible and the New Testament are both obsessed with the notion of covenant, the mutual agreement to walk side by side through life. God enters a covenant with the people, and the people enter covenant with God. Individuals and families covenant together, and the traditional biblical family doesn't look like a wife, a husband, and 2.5 kids. It looks like Ruth and Naomi, two widows who look to the world as if they have nothing, but who in fact have everything they need because they have each other and God. If we are serious when we say that God is love, then we also mean that God is alive and present in any family where love is found. Church, at its best, can be chosen family. When we join a community like this one, we're saying to each other, where you go, I will go, where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Now, like any family, we won't always get it right. In fact, we will make some mistakes. But the point isn't to be perfect. The point is to be together. The point is to love one another, to show forgiveness, to take off our masks of perfectionism, to move beyond that sense of inadequacy or unlovableness, and encounter one another in vulnerable truth. The point is to learn from one another and to become transformed in the process. To let go of life as we know it for the sake of something bigger than ourselves. To choose one another as God has chosen us, all of us, as people worthy of love and honor. In establishing the early church, Jesus knew what it could mean to tell people there is a place for you, there is a community for you. There are so many in this world, and even in this own room, who may feel they have no one who's there for them, who may feel alone in this world. But Jesus, love incarnate in the world, came to teach us that we must be there for one another. We must build community together, because this world, this life, is too hard to go on our own. And so Jesus launched the early church, of which we are all inheritors, to be a place where even the most outcast, even the most alone person can feel a sense of home and welcome and love and embrace. In our baptism promises, we say this to each new person who becomes part of our life of faith. We promise to pray for you, to seek the depths of faith with you, to support you, and to love you. And we mean that sincerely. So if you need to talk to someone, or if you have something you'd like a prayer for, reach out. Because we are here, and we've already promised to be family to you. We are here also to create and maintain a nurturing and challenging environment for one another, which means that while we will care for one another, we will also push one another to try new things. For example, the last hymn we'll sing today has some Spanish in it. And I will encourage you, even to practice right now, we will say the words, Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. Can we say that? Somos el cuerpo de Cristo, which means we are the body of Christ. So we're going to push you to try something new, because it's good for you. We will also, as family, try to call you out on a blind spot or two. We did that throughout our Lenten season last spring, where we looked really deeply at the sins inherent in the life of the church historically, and the things that we all can do to work to transform those blind spots in our lives into possibilities for grace and transformation. It is a mark of a healthy family to encourage one another to grow and change. Jesus understood what a small group of people united together with God's love could do. One of the main ways that we here at Old South Church provide challenge and support to one another is through our small group ministries. This morning, we will ask a special blessing upon our small groups. Right now, we have about 10 small groups going, and we hope to add a couple more soon. So, at this time, if you are in a small group, or if you've been part of a small group, or if you're planning to join a small group, and this includes choirs, would you please stand? So that's book groups, drop-in lunches, Bible studies, discussion groups. All right. So I'd invite you all to join me in a posture of blessing over these members of our small groups, and let us pray. Spirit of kindness and compassion, we come from different places to this sacred ground of communal caring. We are enriched by the company of each other and are drawn closer to the heart of love through our relationships. Thank you for the ways in which our small group ministries have blessed the lives of so many in our community. And thank you for helping these groups to grow and flourish. Touch this gathering with tenderness so that we may be refreshed anew by the grace that encompasses this day. Bless these, the small group ministries of Old South Church. May each group serve as a place of connection, support, and challenge for all those seeking to grow in faith. Bless each group member with a sense of belonging and courage to share themselves in truth and vulnerability with the members of their group. Bless our group leaders who wrangle and prepare, counsel, and encourage. May they also experience spiritual growth and the gifts of life lived in community. Spirit that glistens in the light, bless this community that shares so generously with their hands and their hearts. Keep us ever mindful of the powerful possibilities of love as we walk through all the seasons of our lives. And let the whole church say, Amen.